Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to I'm Listening. I'm BJ Shea, and joining us this morning is the most decorated Olympian of all time, Michael Phelps. Michael, I do appreciate you being here on a Sunday. That's awesome.
Oh, no worries. Thank you all for having me.
The thing that's really surprising, Michael, is, you know, as a layman, as a person that just lives my life, you see somebody who's accomplished what you've accomplished, such a great athlete, of course, celebrity, all that. A person would go, all right, they're on top of the world. They should have no problems. And yet you've gone on the record. You said, you know what? I've had a lot of struggles with anxiety, a lot of struggles with depression. And I thought, you know, this is a good opportunity for you to tell people and want to know why. Why did you want to get that out there, especially because a lot of people would think, really, Michael Phelps has got issues with anything?
It's actually wild, and something I've truly been thinking about recently more and more. You know, whatever it was that day that Tim Layden and I talked about, or whatever the question was, or whatever I had gone through the 45 days beforehand at treatment, that day just felt right for me to open up. You know, it was so bizarre, and honestly, I'd like to go back and think or ask Tim what question, you know, really started making me dive into opening up about the struggles that I have had in my life and that I still continue to have today in my life. I don't know if I'll figure out what it is, but I'm thankful that you know, that afternoon I decided to open up and share the struggles that I go through, because there are so many people that go through the same exact things that I go through. And you know, I guess I'm starting to realize more that really is something that makes me human, and that's what I like. And you know, because that's what I think of myself as. And you know, I think of myself as just a normal human being that, you know, was talented and worked hard and didn't give up on his goals and dreams to be able to accomplish what I have. And you know, obviously, as you can tell, there have been a lot of bumpy points through my life. But, you know, that's what makes me me. And I'm okay with that.
You know, Michael, when you talked about the fact, I don't know what it is, what the reason is, but I hope I can figure it out. The more I get to be involved with folks who are going through what I'm going through, just like you, the more I do a show like this, I think what we get to figure out is, when we're talking about it and seeing that, wait a minute, I'm not in the minority here. I'm actually in, perhaps it might be an overwhelming majority. Sure. Maybe that is what we get to figure out, that the isolation and the loneliness, if we take that out of the equation of just for what we're feeling, then maybe that will be helpful in dealing with the fact that, oh, okay, feeling the way I'm feeling, at least I know it's not unusual because everybody goes through it.
Right, and that's probably why so many people tend to, I guess you said it best, isolate or, you know, shut down, because, you know, I can say as an athlete, you know, I think we're supposed to be these big macho men and we're not supposed to have any weaknesses.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so it's like, you know, that's part of what makes us who we are. So we compartmentalize that and we stuff it away and we don't talk about it. And you know, we're forced to carry it through our career, as long as that is. And you know, do I think that probably helped in some way? Yeah, it might have throughout my career. But it's not healthy to carry something like that through life. And you know, in 2014, I just came to the point where I was sick and tired of carrying it through my life. And I wanted to find change. And that really, I guess, for me, forced me to become vulnerable. And I think that's also a very scary word for people to hear, because it's change, right? It's something out of the norm. It's something completely different than you've ever done. So it essentially does make you scared. But, you know, for me, that was just something that I was looking forward to. I was looking forward to finding that vulnerability, because, you know, I wanted to see change. I wanted to see what else I could do to help me and to make a change.
Hey, you know, Michael, I really like this opportunity to talk to you, especially about the athleticism and the connection. Because for me, reaching for an Oreo cookie is an Olympic sport. That's as far as I go. But you, of course, have done what you've done, and I've heard conversations about how the highs and lows of training at the level you train at, and of course, endorphins and dopamine, how that actually can have an adverse effect on us from a mental standpoint. I mean, a regular person like myself wouldn't think that an athlete at your level, and there's so many, that would be a contributing factor to just how your state of being is. We just wouldn't, I didn't even know about that, and I heard that conversation. Is that something that you believe, yeah, this is definitely true?
I mean, for me, like, I guess from a very young age, swimming was almost like an escape for me. You know, it was the only time where I was able to be in peace and to be in quiet. And you know, I guess, you know, from going through my parents, going through divorce, at a super young age and you know, kind of carrying so much through life, swimming was the only place where I could really just, release all the energy. For me, I played a bunch of sports, and as you can tell in the interview, I jump all over the place. I'm super, super ADD. So as a kid growing up, I played lacrosse, baseball, soccer, I swam. I was a very active kid, and you know, so for me, swimming was just a way to escape and you know, kind of just be able to focus on one thing in kind of peace and quiet for 2 hours. So you know, for me, I think probably what went on and, you know, outside of the water essentially could have played a big impact on what happened inside of the pool. You know, I carried so much anger and aggression as a kid growing up, and swimming was, I guess, an outlet for me to just let it all out. I mean, swimming's the only place where nobody can really hear whatever you say underwater. So I could scream anything I possibly wanted and nobody would really hear it. You know, you just kind of hear somebody screaming or this or that. And there are days where I would push off the wall and just scream just out of frustration. So, you know, I think that definitely drove me, you know, in a way to be able to push through some of the struggles that I had in the water to give me the opportunity that I had.
This is I'm Listening, and we're talking to Olympian Michael Phelps about his issues with mental health. And, you know, Michael, I'm wondering, because we talked about being isolated, since we're finding out more and more, and you're probably finding it out as well, more and more athletes are dealing with what you dealt with. But again, you don't know. It's not just you. Did you have any teammates or anybody that you could ever have these kind of really, because this isn't about the weather, you know, that surface sort of, you know, chatty discussions that we have, you know, small talk. Was there any teammate or anybody at all that you could go, hey, man, can I sit down and have a real talk with you about this?
I mean, there was never really an athlete. I mean, I didn't really necessarily feel comfortable talking to anybody. And honestly, I don't believe as a U.S. national athlete, we really had the opportunity or had the chance to have somebody traveling with us to really sit down and talk about things that we wanted to talk about. It's frustrating.
How crazy is that? Because
it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's shocking. You know, in my opinion, it's like, you know, we're built up to be these massive physical specimens that compete at the highest level of the Olympic Games. But, you know, that's the only part that they really, you know, in my opinion, that people really cared about, the physical side of it, right? Like the mental side of it or our well-being. Like I didn't see that many people cared about that. And you know, I can say truly that probably 75, 80, 90% of athletes that you know, have come out of an Olympic Games have struggled with some kind of depression after an Olympics or some kind of mental health. Because you do get that, you know, you build up to that high every 4 years and you come off of it and, you know, you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs and not really knowing what you're supposed to do next. So you feel lost and you don't really have anybody that you feel comfortable to turn to. But you know, I think for me in 2014, when I found myself in that dark, dark place where, you know, I didn't want to be alive in those 4 days when I was in my room by myself, not wanting to talk to anybody, not eating anything, not like literally not moving for 3 or 4 days. You know, for me, after sitting there and thinking about everything, I wanted to find a different way. I wanted to find a different answer. I was sick and tired of feeling how I felt and just that opportunity of almost like sharpening up your tools. you know, that's kind of what I wanted to do. And that's why I, that's why I started to seek help. And that's when I checked myself into a treatment center. And since then I've been working with a therapist, and it's not something that I truly wanted to do back then, but you know, I know it's something that has played a significant role in making me who I am today, and feeling comfortable with who I am in my own skin. And you know, that's what I want. That's what I want life to be. I want to be able to live life and enjoy everything that I have, you know, because I'm very fortunate to be here and have the privilege to have a beautiful family and two awesome kids.
And Michael, this is this next question is not a question anybody ever wants to ask. Maybe a lot of people don't want to answer, but this is a show about mental health and also suicide awareness. And at any time during those dark times, did you ever contemplate suicide?
Oh, of course. I mean, without a question, it's been one, two, maybe three times. But and I think as you heard me say before, that's why I wanted to find help. You know, I'm always the person that has been extremely eager to try to get better, right? To try to get stronger, to try to, whether it's tough in my mind, tough in my body, whatever it is, to try to really get the best out of myself. So for me, that answer was trying to find help. And you know, honestly, that was probably the first time in my life I've ever asked for help. And it wasn't the easiest thing. I was afraid of being rejected and somebody saying no. But it, you know, if that's the case, then they just probably can't help me then. Like I can't take it so personal. So, you know, I really was able to go through, almost like a rebuilding process, of just being comfortable with who I am. And that was, a long process. You know, so going through those dark times, you know, I always, obviously we always all hope that we don't go through those times again. But for me, I'll be honest and open and look and say I've probably gone through two or three depression spells since 2014. And have they been easy? No. But you know what? I understand that that's part of me. That is a part of who I am. And forever, for the rest of my life, I will go through those ups and downs. But my biggest thing now is I want to be able to teach myself more, to be able to learn more about myself so I can go through those times safer, happier, with more help. You know, I can be more prepared when they come around. And you know, my wife and I have, you know, we've built a strong communication system really over the last couple of years. I always make the joke that I just learned to communicate, and it is actually true. Yeah. But you know, it's great that I was able to kind of open up and not be afraid to talk about anything. And you know, when you say, you know, it is hard to ask these questions. Yeah. And it's, you know, it is tough to talk about these things because of, you know, I do have a family and thinking about all of that. But for me, it helps me. It does help me grow as a person to open up and talk about the struggles and the experience and the experiences, and yes, even the dark places that I've been in. And I can tell you, I never want to go there again, but I do know that it is possible. So I just have to continue to challenge myself every single day to make sure that I'm prepared. And my wife is the one reason, the strongest part. She's the glue that holds me together. So, you know, she's a big help for me. And I think it's important just to find somebody that you can talk to and somebody that you can trust, whether it's a loved one or it's a third party. You know, and I know, I've recently, I guess over the last year or so, started working with another company, who gives you the opportunity to get that help at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you know, so when I talk about therapy and going to see a therapist, you know, I know how difficult it is to see a therapist. You know, sometimes it can take 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks to get in to see a therapist. And by that time, you're quote unquote feeling better. But in all honesty, it's probably just like you've suppressed it and it will come back up again. So I think for me, being able to work with a company where you know, an organization where I can pick up my phone and I know that I can talk to a therapist, whether I can call her, whether I can text her, whether I can FaceTime her, it doesn't matter. And I know that I can do it whenever I need it. So for me, like, that's part of me kind of sharpening my tools and being ready for anything. You know, I've always learned, you know, for me, I spent so much time in the sport of swimming, right? And I was always taught to be as prepared as you possibly can. So for me, I'm just kind of stacking up some resources that I can use when I do find myself isolating or giving somebody the Heisman. Because that should be a warning sign for me, and I'm now aware of those things.
Yeah, I like the idea of talking about tools, because look, there's a lot of us that are good at talking, and it's not a problem for them just to go out and talk and use words as a way to get themselves going. Mm-hmm. But I like for us who, if you will, you're the silent type, but you do know, like, especially if you like to build things, do things, if you have the kind of person that you're just used to getting skills in a toolbox, I like how you put it that way, because that's really what it is. Everybody has coaching in every part of their life, financial coaches, all sorts of things. And the company you're talking about, Michael, is that Talkspace,
yeah. And I was just going to also add that the other cool thing that, you know, if somebody does want to protect their anonymity, they can. You know, they don't have to do a video call or, a FaceTime call with this or that. They can pick up the phone and call, or they can just type. And I think that for me personally, I've found has been a huge help. I know I've had family members who have tried it out where it has helped as well. And I have friends who have used it as well. So for me, it's like you said, just a way to sharpen those tools up a little bit. And honestly, like, to be able to have what Talkspace is offering to everybody all over the U.S., to be able to have therapists in your state that you are talking to on a daily basis if you need, I think is pretty powerful. And also, if you think about how much we live on our cell phones in this day and age,
yeah,
it makes the excuses go away, because it's right there in front of you and it's right. I will say to those who are out there who are hesitant about talking about it or seeing somebody, you're not alone, because I was there as well. I was scared to go into somebody and to be judged, but you know what, at the end of the day, they want to help us. And I know my therapist that I saw in Baltimore was there to help me. And I felt very comfortable and I was open. And for me, I'm somebody who always likes to, you know, kind of grab the bull by the horns and go for a challenge. And I will say it was very challenging, but it was something that I can say has truly changed my life and has helped me experience life in my opinion, how life should be.
Talking with Olympian Michael Phelps about Talkspace, which is a great system that will help you get the kind of talk and therapeutic intervention that you need. How do I use that, Michael? So if I have an iPhone, iPad, or any kind of device, Android system?
Any kind of device, you can just download the app and you sign up. So, I mean, for me, I work with a therapist here in the area, and every now and then, you know, she'll reach out to me and check in or I just get on and just kind of almost like word vomit, I guess you can say. I just unload everything that's in my head that's going on. And it is so helpful. And she helps me kind of break things down little by little and gives me little tools to get through those things.
And for a lot of folks, sometimes they go, look, therapy is not the issue. I would love to do it, but they just don't have the financial means, Michael. Do you have any tips for folks like that?
And that's the thing. And if you look at Talkspace, so if you think of a therapist, I mean, you can go for an hour and they might charge $100, $150, $200, and sometimes north of like $500 for an hour. So if you think, so Talkspace offers plans as low as $50 a month or every 2 weeks, I believe it is, where you can go on, and there are so many different levels of things that are available. And I feel the price points are perfect and they are kind of reasonable because, like I said, all of these high numbers with these therapists, they're astronomical. So people can't find the help they need. And I feel like Talkspace is giving them the opportunity at a very, very affordable price.
And the big thing about societies, because of course what we're doing today is we want to change society's view on mental health, on suicide, suicide prevention, and take the stigma away. And one of the most successful things you can do to get a society to change is, of course, is you start with the children. And I wanted to give a quick shout out to the Michael Phelps Foundation, because you guys are doing some great stuff for kids.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, for me, we just celebrated our 10th anniversary this past weekend, actually. And not only is it for healthy and active lifestyles and water safety for children, but we've recently added a mental health component where we're trying to almost help kids talk about the emotions and the feelings that they go through and understand where they come from. Look, when I was in treatment, that was probably my least favorite thing to do for the first probably 3 days. Yeah. I had a woman or a nurse come in at like 6 a.m. and wake me up and tell me to look at the wall and pick out an emotion of what I felt. I was pretty ticked off every morning at 6 yeah. o'clock when she woke me up. I mean, let's be honest. But after the first few days, I started to realize why I was feeling that way. And it kind of helped me just, and I don't know, just take a step back and say, okay, I'm feeling angry. Why am I feeling angry? Okay, I'm mad that somebody did something a certain way or this, that, and the other. And then you're like, all right, well, it's not that big of a deal. Okay, I can let it pass. So I think for me, it was a good way just to really realize why I was feeling all of these different emotions. And as kids, I think it's a great way for them to start at a young age. You know, I was very fortunate to learn a lot of things, goal setting or whatever it was at a young age, that has helped me through life. And yes, I wish I would have learned other things. So I think it's a great opportunity to be able just to teach kids at such a young age to be able to understand their emotions and understand where they're coming from, and also understand that it's okay to not be okay, and to try to get them to feel comfortable to open up and talk and not compartmentalize things. I mean, I look, I'll be the first to admit I could probably win a gold medal at compartmentalizing, and that's not a good thing. Like, I'm not saying that in a good way. It's really bad that I was doing that for so long. But it's not fun carrying that stuff along your whole entire life. You know, I carried so much excess baggage through, you know, 15 years of my life that I didn't need to. And you know, I don't want to say it held me back, and I don't want to say this, that, but it made life more challenging. And, you know, for me, it put me in pretty bad spots. And you know, for me, like, that's why I enjoy and love talking about the experiences that I had and the experiences that I still have, because it's me, and I'm okay with who I am. And I think for a long time in my career, I don't think I was comfortable looking at myself in the mirror. But, you know, I don't care that I have struggles or that I get depressed from time to time, or, you know, I have anxiety here and there. Like, I don't care, because that makes me who I am. And that changed from, you know, from who I was to who I am today, just from, you know, kind of letting my guard down a little bit and opening up. And realizing that I'm not alone. You know, I'm not the only one that's struggling with this. And you know, that's, you know, for me, you know, that's why I enjoy doing what I do now and don't ever want to get back in the pool, because I, you know, for me, saving a life is much, much more important to me than winning a gold medal. And if I can save just one life, then I feel like I've done something. And that's all I want to do now.
Oh, Michael, I couldn't have said it better. And thank you so much for sharing your story at a time where there's a lot of divisiveness in the world. A person just like yourself, taking the time to just talk about yourself and what you're going through is perhaps one of the most unifying things anybody could do. And I appreciate you spending this time with us today.
And I just want to, again, encourage everybody just to talk, or honestly, read articles. You know, I read the Players Tribune all the time, and there was a great, great piece the other day about a goalie from Canada and talking about his mental health struggles. You know, it's not only athletes that go through them, it's performers, it's singers, it's businessmen, it's everybody. It's people every single day who get up out of bed the same way that we do, struggle through these problems. And you know, we can all help each other. And I think that's something that's so powerful. Just talking to somebody or asking how they're doing or, you know, lending them a hand when they need it. You know, I know, you know, for me, I have Allison and Allison Schmidt, who lives with us, and my wife, who know me very, very well. And they are constantly challenging me to open up and to talk even more and to talk deeper into the struggles that I've had and the stories that, you know, the memories or moments that I guess I've gone through. And it has truly helped.
And that's fantastic, Michael. For folks that don't know, Allison, of course, a former teammate. So she familiar with the world that you're familiar with, and you are sharing your knowledge, your experience, and she and the fact that she can say, okay, you know what I'm going through. You've lived this life from an athletic standpoint. That's fantastic.
Thank you. And honestly, thank you guys for having me. I think you can say stigma and you can say there is a stigma around it. But I honestly do feel that we've been able to break barriers and we've been able to have and have saved lives already. So I think if we continue to talk about it and just understand that it's okay to not be okay. Every day is not going to be perfect. But, you know, if you can work on, you know, those little small things that are going to help you, just be prepared for whatever comes your way. You know, life is basically really about solving problems, right? And then whenever one problem goes away, another problem comes up. So, you know, it's just about managing everything and understanding who you are. And I think that's, you know, something that's, you know, for me was such an enjoyable journey. And you know, I hope to hear and read so many other stories who others have gone through similar things.
And like Michael said, man, talking is the key, and we're going to feature information on Talkspace on our website, imlistening.org. Michael Phelps, again, thank you so much for being with us.
No, thank you very, very much for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.